Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the FDA approves booster shots from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson.
The new Bitcoin ETF becomes the quickest ever to $1 billion.
Former President Trump begins his return to social media.
And Democrats rework plans to pay for President Biden's economic agenda.
It was debate night for New York's two mayoral candidates, plus the full House votes today on contempt of Congress charges for Steve Bannon. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A wild season opener for the Knicks. They beat the Celtics in double overtime. Baseball playoff wins for the Astros and Braves.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Thursday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 12 points. Dow futures down 103. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.4%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds. Yield 1.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 42 cents at $82.90 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.60 at $1786.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1642 against the dollar, and the yen at 114.03. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll continue following the markets throughout the morning, of course, but we begin with big news on the vaccine front today. The FDA has cleared the way for Americans to receive booster shots from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. They'll start with people 65 and older, plus those at higher risk of COVID. Here with more is Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
FDA Director of Biologics, Dr. Peter Marks, says age categories can be quickly modified.
There is evidence to suggest potentially that lowering the age of those eligible for boosters may make sense in the future.
The Biden administration also will begin shipping vaccines for kids age 5 to 11 as soon as next week. Dr. Jeff Zients, in preparation for approval.
We've already enrolled more than 25,000 pediatricians, family doctors, and other primary care providers.
He hopes to be able to get them in arms within a couple of weeks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, turning to the markets now, the news this morning centers on earnings from Tesla. Shares of the automaker are lower this morning. The company beat on profit but fell short on revenue. We get more from Bloomberg's Keith Naughton.
There were very high expectations going into this, and so if they didn't beat on everything, it looks like investors weren't going to give them credit. But the one thing to remember is, though the stock has dipped a bit, it is up 55% since its low back in April.
And Bloomberg's Keith Naughton says Tesla is proving resilient to the semiconductor shortage and supply chain issues hitting other companies. Shares down almost 1% in early trading.
Now, speaking of the chip shortage, Karen, we'll be looking for more details on that when Intel reports third quarter earnings. Those results are due after today's market close. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Chip supplies continue to lag behind rising demand from enterprise data centers, cloud providers, and autos. Bloomberg Intelligence says Intel's capital spending may increase in the near to medium term as it seeks to catch up with Taiwan Semiconductor on chip manufacturing. Weakness may continue in Intel's data center group as its chips trail those of rivals Advanced Micro Devices and NVIDIA. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. On the markets this morning, the rally in Bitcoin shows no signs of slowing. The digital currency hit a fresh record yesterday as money continues to flow into the new ProShares ETF. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at $66,158, and it can only go up from here, according to Kraken's head of options trading, Juthika Chu.
When you get the inflows, when you get some of the really large pension funds, it doesn't take much to push price up another 50%.
The ProShares Bitcoin ETF reached more than $1 billion under management in just its second day of trading. It's the quickest ever that an ETF reached that mark. The overall crypto market is also at an all-time high, totaling more than $2.7 trillion.
Okay, Karen, let's turn to politics now, and word that a big name is planning a move back into the spotlight. Former President Trump has announced a deal that could help him get back on social media following his exile from Facebook and Twitter. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with with the very latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump plans to start a social media company called Truth Social. That's according to a press release that also says the new enterprise will be operating by the first quarter of next year. That would be well ahead of midterm elections. The company says it's also planning a subscription video on-demand service, and it would be publicly traded through a merger with another firm called Digital World Acquisition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hi, Renita, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, Democrats continue their push for a compromise on infrastructure. We're told they're looking for new ways to pay for the measure outside of a corporate tax hike. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
During a call with top Democrats, the White House floated the idea of a billionaire's wealth tax and a tax on stock buybacks. A person familiar with the call tells Bloomberg News higher corporate taxes seem less likely now, but talks are fluid. This, as moderate Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema says she won't vote for any package with increases on the corporate and individual tax rates. Eliminating some tax increases will likely disappoint some progressive Democrats who see overhauling the tax code as a way to address wealth inequality. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. When it comes to negotiations on that package, Americans in high-tax states are watching for any word on changes to the cap on state and local tax deductions. There has been haggling over the issue, but it's not dead yet. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. House lawmakers are divided on repealing the limit on the so-called SALT write-offs. Democrats had previously discussed a two-year repeal, but now negotiators are looking to cut even that to win support from moderates. One source tells Bloomberg the scaling down of the bill means a repeal would be limited to only 1 year. The $10,000 limit on deducting state and local taxes was imposed by Republicans in 2017. It's being watched closely by residents in New York, California, and New Jersey. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Watching futures markets this morning, they're moving lower with S&P futures down 11 points, NASDAQ futures down 28. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 62 degrees in Central Park and dealing with an accident on the westbound LIE near Casino Boulevard in Queens. We'll get details on that in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The two men who want to be the next mayor of New York held their first of two debates last night. And let's just say they're not besties. Democratic candidate Eric Adams and Republican contender Curtis Sliwa pretty much disagreed on everything, on crime.
You are missing in action like so many others.
Okay, Mr.
So please, please, I put my life on the line. I've been shot, stabbed, beaten in order to provide
safety. So we need to wrap you up. I'll give you a...
When he was playing cop, I was on the subway system, right in that system during the mid-80s when crime was high.
During last night's debate on WNBC, Adams said he supports coronavirus vaccine mandates and would be open to students going back to remote classes if they don't get shots. Sliwa slammed Mayor de Blasio, who endorsed Adams, for threatening to fire nurses for not getting vaccinated after they were cheered months ago for their work. Adams leads in the polls heading into the November 2nd election. The full House votes today on whether to hold former Trump advisor Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena related to the investigation of the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The House vote intends to trigger Justice Department action. Senate Republicans blocked once again. Democrats who are trying to pass sweeping elections legislation. Democrats say it is a powerful counterweight to new voting restrictions that is sweeping conservative-controlled states. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer took aim at his GOP colleagues for not allowing a discussion to happen.
Our former president could not accept defeat with grace. He refused to show fidelity to the democratic process. Instead, he told a big lie that has now poisoned the roots of our democracy.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell slammed the measure as a federal election takeover scheme. Potential human remains were found in a Florida wilderness area, along with items believed to belong to Brian Laundrie. Authorities say he's a person of interest in the death of his girlfriend, Gabby Petito, FBI agent in charge, Michael McPherson.
These items were found in an area that up until recently had been underwater.
FBI agent McPherson says the items found included Laundrie's backpack and notebook. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thank you. Just about 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. First of 82 games for the Knicks. They may not play a Wilder game all year. They trailed early, then took the lead. They were up 11 with about 3 minutes to go. A Celtics rally. Marcus Smart hit a three-pointer at the buzzer of regulation, so they went to overtime. Then a second overtime. And at one point, both teams were draining three-pointers at both ends. Most of the Knick threes came from a new Knick.
Finds Fournier. He's open. Picked the three. Now one from straight on. Knocks it down. Got his man in the air. And Fournier, huge in his Knicks debut. The Knicks leading 136-134.
ESPN the call. And the Knicks beat Boston 138-134. And Evan Fournier's first game with his new team, a career high. 32 points. Julius Randle had 35. Jaylen Brown, just back from COVID, he had not been practicing at all. He scored a career-high 46 points, shot 16 of 30. The Knicks were helped by the Celtics' other star, Jason Tatum, shooting 7 of 30. Baseball playoffs, the Braves won 9-2. The Astros won 9-1. Atlanta can win the pennant tonight. Houston can win the pennant tomorrow night. The Braves are up 3-1 on the Dodgers, just as they were in the NLCS a year ago, and they blew that series. The Astros lead the Red Sox 3-2. They trailed the series 2-1 and trailed game 4 2-1 and then scored the next 15 runs. Mets pitcher Carlos Carrasco, having elbow surgery, struggled this past season, 1-5, a 6 ERA. Browns host the Broncos tonight. Cleveland will be without quarterback Baker Mayfield due to an injured left shoulder. Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, all unable to practice for the Giants, who on Sunday host Carolina. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 109. NASDAQ futures down 28. 10-year Treasury yield 1.64%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's almost 5:12 on Wall Street now. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are falling this morning. Investors weighing corporate earnings, elevated inflation, and the outlook for China's property sector. Treasuries and the dollar. Well, the 10-year Treasury is moving higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 12 points. Dow futures down 109. NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. Right now, the 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield now at 1.64%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil moving lower, down 0.8%, or 64 cents at $82.79 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $2.20 at $17.87.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1639 against the dollar. British pound, 1.38. And the yen's at 114.05. And we continue to watch Bitcoin up 0.5% at $66,335. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The White House is floating new plans for ways to pay for President Joe Biden's $2 trillion proposal for expanding social services and tackling climate change. The ideas include shelving a proposed big increase in corporate tax rates. Former President Donald Trump says he's launching a new media company with its own social media platform 9 months after being expelled from social media for his role in the January 6th Capitol riot. The NBA season debuts for the Knicks. It took double overtime for New York to down the Celtics, 138-134. The Wizards also won. Major League Baseball in the ALCS. The Red Sox were pounded by the Astros 9-1 in Rotro. Houston now leads the series 3-1 with Boston in a must-win situation.
That is a rut-row.
Oh, yeah. The NLCS, Dodgers in the same boat. The Braves have a commanding 3-1 lead over the Dodgers. Atlanta down L.A. 9-2. NHL, the Bruins lost Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now. One of those stories Michael Barr mentioned, former President Donald Trump potentially rebuilding his giant social media following with a blank check deal to form a new media empire. Greg Valliere is with us this morning, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, good morning. Nice to have you with us. So this new company, I understand, is called Trump Media and Tech Group. They say if you can't beat them, join them. But, of course, the former president can't rejoin Facebook and Twitter. What do you make of this move?
Well, Nathan, good morning. I think that it fulfills two great wishes for Donald Trump. One is his insatiable desire for publicity, and secondly, money. The company that has put this together had a stock offering that raised a lot of money, and Trump is going to get a lot of that money. So those are two huge motivators for him.
If it's publicity and money, are you implying then that you don't really see a forward-looking business model, that this is really going to be competitive against what really is obviously a crowded space, not just in social media, but in media more generally?
It's going to be hard to find a niche. He probably will, because he has such a loyal following. But he's tried this before, and it hasn't worked well. And he, but I do think he'll get more publicity. This is a tip off to me that he is going to run in 2024.
Interesting, because there's been so much speculation for years, of course, that the president, the former president, was going to attempt to form a media empire of some sort, even before he ran for president the first time. Build on that a little more. What makes you think that this is a bouncing off point for him to actually run for office again?
Oh, I think it gives him the ability every day to be in the news making outrageous comments like the one he made a couple days ago about Colin Powell. And I think that he lives on this kind of publicity, and it could be a very, very crowded field in 2024. And a lot of Republicans are resentful that all Trump seems to care about is relitigating the last election as being fraudulent. So it gives him that opportunity to stir up his base. And I do think if he runs, Nathan, he'd be the favorite to win the nomination. I'm not sure he'd be the favorite to win a general election, however.
All right. Well, in the time we have left, Greg, I want to get your take on the latest negotiations among Democrats over President Biden's economic agenda. It seems as though they're stuck on three key issues here: taxes, climate, and college. Where do you see the negotiations going from here, given that there's a self-imposed deadline from the party to come to an agreement by the end of the month?
Yeah, I don't think they get one by the end of the month. I wouldn't be shocked, Nathan, to see, you know, maybe this weekend an agreement in principle, but that means they still haven't agreed on the details. And the details, as you suggest, on these issues are enormous. What's the old saying from Will Rogers? I don't belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. The Democrats are not together on this stuff. The progressives are feeling very discouraged because they're not going to get big new tax cuts on the wealthy. They're not going to get big new programs. So it's become even more complicated in the last 24 hours because of Kyrsten Sinema, who says she doesn't want any taxes.
Yeah, we did hear that from the senator from Arizona in the last couple of hours here. Well, if tax hikes are out, Greg, what alternatives are there in our last 30 seconds here?
Well, first of all, smoke and mirrors. There will be an attempt to assume stronger growth, assume stronger IRS collections, things like that. But the wild card here is that the Democrats may have to look at other tax increases, maybe even a tax on stock buybacks. That's a wild card, and it does complicate things further. I think this drags well into November.
Which, of course, the Democrats are hoping wouldn't happen, but we'll see how things go in the next 10 days here before that October 31st deadline we've been talking about over the last several weeks here. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist, AGF Investments, as always, great to get your insights on what's happening in the nation's capital. Now in the media space, with former President Donald Trump forming this new company aimed at restoring his presence on social media, and as Greg alludes to, potentially springboarding into a second run for president. Right now, S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 114, NASDAQ futures down 27. The 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds, the yield 1.64%, yield on the two-year 0.39. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Mix of sun and clouds today, high near 75 degrees. We'll get near 70 tomorrow. Mix of sun and clouds Saturday, low 60s for afternoon highs. Currently 62 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 11:30.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 106.1.
To San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960.
To the country,
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe,
the Bloomberg Business App
and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with developments on vaccines. The FDA has approved booster shots from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien.
We have the U.S. Drug Authority approving the Moderna vaccine as a booster for Americans aged 65 and over, along with those over 18 at higher risk. They also said any adult who'd received the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine can get a booster 2 months after receiving their first dose, which is pretty aggressive.
Bloomberg's Emma O'Brien says the FDA has also approved mixing vaccines from all three manufacturers. Up next is vaccine approval for kids.
All right, Karen, let's turn to earnings now, where it is all about Tesla. The shares are down nearly 1% after the company beat on profit but fell short on revenue. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Sales of Elon Musk's electric vehicle and clean energy company rose 57%. The results mark the ninth straight quarter of profit for the 18-year-old electric car maker, and came despite obstacles that included backups at ports and even rolling blackouts that made it tough to keep factories operating at full capacity. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Politics now, and word that a big name is moving back into the spotlight. Former President Trump has announced a deal to get him back on social media. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Former President Donald Trump plans to start a social media company called Truth Social. That's according to a press release that also says the new enterprise will be operating by the first quarter of next year. The company is also planning a subscription video on demand service. It would be publicly traded through a merger with another firm called Digital World Acquisition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. On Capitol Hill today, wrangling continues over President Biden's infrastructure package and how to pay for it. Americans in high-tax states are watching for any changes to the cap on state and local tax deductions. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. John?
And restoring the so-called SALT deduction still on the table, Nathan, but it's more likely a scaled-back version will be considered. One source tells Bloomberg a repeal may be limited to only 1 year. The $10,000 limit on deducting state and local taxes was imposed by Republicans in 2017. It's being watched closely by residents in New York, California, and New Jersey. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thanks. Watching S&P futures fall by 11 points down, NASDAQ futures down 24. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 61 degrees in Central Park and still dealing with delays from an accident on the westbound LIE near Casino Boulevard. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The two men running to become New York City's next mayor offered starkly different versions of their first debate about how to lead the nation's largest city out of the pandemic and improve public safety. Democrat Eric Adams and Republican Curtis Sliwa also sparred last night over Mayor de Blasio's vaccine mandate.
We cheered them at night at 7.
Then all of a sudden we decided de Blasio, who has supported Eric Adams here, they've been a team, that all of a sudden they would lose their jobs.
I believe the mayor's action today was correct. I would have handled it differently.
Adams and Sliwa slammed each other during the WNBC debate over personal and character issues. The U.S. Senate has struck down a bill meant to expand voter protection on the federal level. Senators on the Hill failed to get the 60 votes needed to debate the Freedom to Vote Act on the Senate floor. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Every single Republican senator just blocked this chamber from having a debate, simply a debate, on protecting Americans' right to vote in free and fair elections.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called the measure a power grab by the far left. The full House votes today on whether to hold former Trump advisor Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena related to the January 6th investigation. The FBI and local law enforcement are on the scene after a backpack and a notebook believed belonged to Brian Laundrie were found. It was found near still-to-be-identified human remains in a Florida wilderness park during the search for the missing man. Laundrie is a person of interest in the death of his girlfriend, Gabby Petito. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. It's the NBA's 75th season. Only two franchises have been there from the start in 1946 at the same place, the Knicks and the Celtics. So fitting they met in the season opener. It was quite a game at the Garden. It went overtime and then double OT.
10 to shoot, 28 to go. Knicks by two, second overtime. Rose, 5 to shoot. The drive, the runner, it's good! Off glass, Knicks by 4 with 22.2 left. Timeout Boston, Rose to the rescue.
ATM, the call, final basket of the night as the Knicks won 138-134, led by Julius Randle and Evan Fournier. They combined for 67 points. Fournier, a career-high 32 in his Knicks debut. Jaylen Brown, a career-high 46 for Boston. That's the most points any Celtic has ever had in a season opener. The Astros and Braves both lost in the LCS a year ago, but both leading now and both one win from the pennant. Atlanta did lead the Dodgers 3-1 and then lost three straight to L.A. last year, and the Braves are up 3-1 again. They took Game 4 last night 9-2. And Game 5 is tonight. It'd be Atlanta's first pennant since 1999. Astros lead the Red Sox 3-2. They took Game 5 at Fenway 9-1. Red Sox won Games 2 and 3 of this series by scoring 21 runs on 22 hits, but in Game 4 and 5, 3 runs, 8 hits. Game 6 tomorrow in Houston, a chance for the Astros to win a third pennant in the last 5 years. Week 7 NFL begins tonight. Denver at Cleveland, both teams 3-3. The Browns will be without quarterback Baker Mayfield. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. Almost 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The Princeton Club of New York, a midtown oasis for Ivy League alumni, could soon be without a home. Its $40 million in mortgage debt went into default. It's being sold to the highest bidder. Sources say the private club is running low on cash after being closed for 15 months during the pandemic. New York City's retirement funds pledged to reach net zero greenhouse gas emissions across its investment portfolios by 2040. It's a plan that calls for doubling investments in renewable energy and other climate-related solutions by 2025, according to City Comptroller Scott Stringer. M Squared is kicking off its second fundraising effort. The goal is $150 million. It was founded by former New York Deputy Mayor for Housing and Development Alicia Glenn. The firm works to create affordable housing for middle-income Americans while hiring women and minority-owned companies to build it. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. Just about 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that 3M has agreed to pay $99 million to clean up a site in Alabama.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about city pension plans making a net zero climate pledge.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on a helping hand for the Chancellor Rishi Sunak ahead of his budget from lower than expected government borrowing.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting a developer has purchased the Left Bank building in the Black.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We're coming up to 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Whether it's built in a factory or homemade, a gun is a gun. So why is the do-it-yourself kind almost entirely unregulated? Online sellers of parts for ghost guns aren't obligated to run background checks on purchasers, and the components don't have serial numbers. The finished firearms are effectively untraceable, and they're increasingly used in violent crimes. States are trying to fight back. New York is on the verge of imposing the toughest ghost gun regulations in the country. Meanwhile, California has joined San Francisco in suing several ghost gun retailers for fraud and false advertising. But states alone can only accomplish so much. Fortunately, the federal government is working on a rule that would close the loopholes that make ghost guns so appealing to criminals. The important thing is to act fast. The status quo is costing too many lives. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Right now, S&P futures are down 10 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 20. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield 1.64%. Yield on the 2-year 0.39. Tesla down nearly 1% in early trading after reporting earnings. We'll talk about it next with Dan Ives, Managing Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's almost 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Most stocks falling this morning as investors weigh corporate earnings, elevated inflation, and the outlook for China's property sector. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 1.64%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 79 cents at $82.63 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.20 at $17.88.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1643 against the dollar. British pound 1.3794. The yen 114.07. Bitcoin at $66,315. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Food and Drug Administration is signing off on extending booster shots to anyone who got the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. At the same time, the agency says anyone eligible for an extra dose can mix and match any of the three authorized vaccine brands. The race between Democrat Terry McAuliffe and Republican Glenn Youngkin for governor of Virginia has narrowed to a tie just 2 weeks ahead of Election Day. A Monmouth University survey shows both candidates with 46% support. In the NBA, it took double overtime for the Knicks to down the Celtics 138-134. The Wizards also won. Major League Baseball in the ALCS. The Red Sox were pounded by the Astros 9-1. Houston now leads that series 3-1. In the NLCS, the Braves have a commanding 3-1 lead over the Dodgers. Atlanta down Los Angeles 9-2. In the NHL, the Bruins lost Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We continue to watch shares of Tesla this morning. They're down nearly 1% in the pre-market after the EV maker came in with third quarter earnings that were a bit of a mixed bag, I think it's safe to say, but we'll put the question to Dan Ives. He's Managing Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities. Dan, good to have you back with us. So we got a beat on earnings, but Tesla came up just a bit short of estimates on revenue. What's that tell you about where things are going for Elon Musk and company?
Well, yeah, I think when you take the, in the chip shortage, this was well above whisper expectations in terms of just deliveries we knew. But what you're starting to see on ASP, the average selling price. And then I see the headline of the day is margins. I mean, this margin story in Tesla profitability is now starting to take hold in a massive way. $13 billion EBITDA run rate. That is something that the street's going to digest, and I think this pushes us to a four-digit stock.
All right. Help us to digest this then. Can Tesla continue to weather the chip shortage? It has been making semiconductors on its own. Can it continue to do that going forward? And if the chip shortage lingers, could that be a headwind for Tesla?
Yeah, look, they're not immune, just like every other tech and auto player. But what you've seen on the chip shortage is that they've been able to navigate really better than any other automaker. Because it comes down right now, they don't have a demand issue. They have a supply issue. Demand's outstripping supply by about 30,000 units. But now Berlin in Europe and Austin coming on board, we believe now this is really going to change the capacity story for Tesla as we go into 2022. Chip shortage is going to be there, but it's clearly the Tesla growth story starting to take its next leg.
And when you think about the Austin and Berlin factories coming further online, does that say something about Tesla's reliance on sort of the lower price point models that it puts out as opposed to the S and the X that have kind of a higher price point for buyers?
Yeah, and then that's a great question because, look, the S and X, that was a 2018 story, right? Now it's about the mass market, $40,000, $50,000 vehicles. Model 3, Model Y. That's how now you get EVs to go from 3% of automobiles globally to 10% next, call it 2 to 3 years. That's the sweet spot for Tesla. And that's what's starting to happen right now. And because of reduction in terms of battery prices, the margins are starting to scale. And that's really the sort of the next leg of this Tesla story taking hold.
I wanted to ask you about the lower cost battery technology Tesla announced. It's going to be leaning more on that. Could that raise potential safety concerns for Tesla? It's a different technology.
Well, it is, but it also speaks to the innovation at Tesla because they've been able, through their battery technology, and I think it's something we're going to see over the coming years, that's their moat that they have versus other EV players and the scale. Now, anything Tesla does, I mean, if Tesla opened up a yogurt store, there'd be scrutiny on that, right? So there's going to be scrutiny, but the cost, that's the key. That's what's driving margins higher, and it's also enabling them to navigate this supply and chip shortage really better than any automaker, you know, when you compare it to the likes of GM and others.
What about China? Obviously, there's a big piece of market share there that Tesla relies on. Is it going to have to continue to do so?
Well, China, I mean, that's the key part of the story. I mean, if you look earlier this year, they had headwinds, regulatory, PR issues. Now that's starting to reverse themselves because Musk and Tesla, they're playing nice in the sandbox with Beijing. And they have to rely on them because that's going to be about 40% of deliveries going into next year. China's leading this green tidal wave. We're starting to see Europe and the U.S. catch up. But no doubt, I mean, the story in this growth and what we saw last night is China for Tesla.
So in the last 30 seconds here, Dan, you're making the case for a four-digit stock. Do you think it gets there by the end of this year, just quickly?
Look, I think we're looking at a $1,000 stock by early next year. It's just hard to deny the green tidal wave, Tesla, and now the margin story. The haters will continue to hate, but I believe there's a four-digit stock.
Not by early next year. All right, Dan Ives, Wedbush Securities Managing Director of Equity Research. As always, great to get your insights on all things tech and on Tesla this morning. Karen.
Well, Nathan, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Sources tell Bloomberg the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will demand information from big technology firms on how they harvest, use, and market consumer financial data. The American Bar Association may take a step toward opening up remote work for lawyers on a national scale to improve access to justice efforts. 3M agreed to pay $99 million to support environmental initiatives at a facility in Alabama that was accused of disposing of chemicals and contaminating groundwater.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to Capitol Hill. The House votes today on whether to hold former Trump advisor Steve Bannon in criminal contempt of Congress. Bannon has refused to comply with the House subpoena over the January 6th attack on the Capitol. For more on the move, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to former federal prosecutor Jennifer Rogers, who teaches at Columbia Law School.
Bannon's lawyer has written to the committee and said his client will not testify or provide other evidence until the panel reaches an agreement with Trump or a court weighs in on executive privilege. Is that a strong argument?
Well, it really looks more like a stalling tactic, in part because the committee wasn't negotiating with Trump. They haven't heard anything from Trump about this. So it really is just a way to say, I'm not cooperating at all. And also, you know, remember, executive privilege, while we don't know the exact parameters of what it covers, because there hasn't been a lot of judicial decisions on that, we do know that you can't just use it as a blanket assertion. So they asked Steve Bannon for all sorts of documents and for testimony about, you know, not just one particular conversation, but a whole series of events. So the notion that you can say, executive privilege, I don't have to show up at all, I don't have to send anything in, is ridiculous. It's really kind of a moment-by-moment determination depending on who you're talking to and what it's about, you know, what the document is about. So I think those things combined suggest that Bannon is not really making an assertion in good faith here, but instead is kind of asserting some sort of absolute immunity that bars him from having to do anything at all.
So if the House does pass a criminal contempt resolution, that gets referred to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. Do they have to press that?
They do not have to prosecute. That's within the discretion of the Department of Justice. And even though, as you say, it goes to the D.C. U.S. Attorney, you better believe that ultimately that decision is being made by Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. So they will consider, you know, the strength of the case, the pros and cons, all of the kind of circumstances surrounding it, and they will make a decision on its legal and factual merits.
And that's Columbia Law Professor Jennifer Rogers speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 93. NASDAQ futures down 22. 10-year Treasury up 4/30 seconds, yield 1.64%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.